I'm speaking to the legendary vocalist, Mr. Jeff Scott Soto, who's been in many different melodic rock acts, such as Yngwie Malmsteen, Talisman, I, Takara, Axel Rudy Pell, as well as also Journey, and also he's in the band called What? How's it going for you today, Jeff?
I'm good. With an intro like that, I tell you, I ought to send you an envelope full of money.
Nah, not at all, man. Seriously, you're just a legendary vocalist, which I actually saw live and had the pleasure of actually seeing you live, and it's such an honor to bring you here on Metal Messiah Radio.
Awesome, my pleasure.
Your fans.
So, my pleasure to be here.
Oh, my pleasure. But let's get started on your brand new album called Damage Control. I mean, why did you choose that name for that album?
Well, it kind of happened when I was, I had something else in mind for the album, which wasn't as strong, I have to admit, which is the reason I changed it. But the thing is, after I wrote the actual lyrics to the song Damage Control itself, I realized that there were a lot of songs on the album that kind of had the theme. You know, Damage Control, they don't really know what that is in Europe when they hear that term. But in the U.S., we know of it as taking a positive and you know, taking a negative and turning it to a positive. Like, you know, if you messed up doing something, if you broke your mom's favorite dish, if you cheated on your girlfriend, something like that, you basically got to perform Damage Control to fix the situation. So I realized that a lot of my lyrics on this album were, it had a lot to do with Damage Control, about everything from what's going on in the world today. It's, you know, just there's so many things going on this record that I realized the theme actually fit that particular title track as well, that I should call the album that.
Oh, yeah, I mean, it's definitely a killer release. So who
Thank you.
You're welcome. So who exactly, you know, designed your album cover for Damage Control?
Well, the same guy that's done all my album covers, I've known him for about 12 years now. His name is Richard Mace. He's done everything from the first solo album I did with Frontiers called Prism back in 2002. Everything to from Soul Circus to the last Talisman albums to, I mean, you name it, everything that I've had to do with, he's done. He did the web covers. He's been in my life doing all my graphic arts for 12 years, and I wouldn't go to anybody else. He's the best.
Yeah, it's pretty killer. So, for Damage Control, I mean, how long did that CD take for you to make from start to finish recording-wise?
It wasn't that long. I actually, let me just kind of jump in real quick.
Go right
ahead. There's a 14-song edition that I'm pushing the only version, because you probably only heard the standard 11-song edition, and there's three killer songs that are actually added to the deluxe edition, which for me was the full vision of what I wanted this album to be. I was basically married to the 14 songs that are on the deluxe edition so much that I pleaded the label we have to find a way to release either on a digital download, special release here, there, bonus track, whatever you want to do. And they came to me with the option of actually doing two editions, the standard one and the deluxe one. So I'm going to go on the record by saying, for a few extra bucks, you get those three killer tracks that to me personify the album, on top of the DVD that has three videos and the EPK that I do in there that describes all the songs. I mean, everything we're talking about, I'm basically talking about on the EPK there, but except you get to see me in a visual talking about it. But anyways, for a few extra bucks, I mean, it's more bang for your buck by getting the deluxe edition. So I ask people, if you're going to listen to this album, please go for that one before you go for the 11-song one. Now, back to your question.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't take me long at all because I actually started piecing everything together, I think, towards the end of last summer, and I had to get everything done by the middle of October before I started getting ready for the Trans-Siberian Orchestra Winter Tour. So it wasn't a long process of getting all the songs together, getting them started recording, and then we started mixing the album when I was actually on tour, and I was shooting the videos in between on my days off. It was crazy trying to get everything on time to turn in the album so it could be released next week.
Wow, you're a busy man, seriously.
You know, I honestly don't know how I do it. I really wish, I'm one of those guys that wish there was 36 hours to the day, but somehow, when crunch time comes around, that's when I work best.
Wow. So can you actually tell me how your writing process is done? I mean, even for all your bands, I mean, where do you actually get your inspirations for all your awesome songs that you have written?
Well, everything is different. Every process is different, and it depends on the situation. For this particular situation, I wanted to get certain individuals involved, but because I was so busy and because they're located halfway around the world, the only way to do that is basically online. We were doing things on Skype. We were doing things just sending the ideas by MP3. I would say yay or nay, and then once I had about 20 or 21 ideas, that's when I started narrowing it down to which ones I would actually record. And like I said, I got down to 14. I was like, geez, how am I going to cut any more than this? I'm just going to record all 14 and see what happens. And that's how I ended up with the 14 that's on the deluxe edition. But every single song of this album was collaborated with other people, because I wanted to work with guitar players and writers who actually think like guitar players. I could pick up a guitar or sit at the piano and bang out some songs and some song ideas, but that's just me, who's somebody who can play and write, you know, using the instrument, as opposed to the way a guitar player thinks to play the riffs. So that's why I went outside the box here. I wanted to make sure that every song had its own identity, every song had its a vibe and a sound to it that I wouldn't necessarily come up with if I picked up the guitar and tried to do it myself.
Very cool. So being that I've been a huge fan of yours for, a gazillion many years, such as Prodigy.
Hey, don't make me that old.
I'm not, Jeff. But being in front of, your projects such as, Yngwie Malmsteen, the legendary, awesome guitarist, to Journey, to Talisman, to Wet, to Carrot, to Axel Rudy Pellet, I could go on and on and on and on and on. Soul Circus, how was it working with all those bands? It has to be incredible.
It really is. It's those times I actually sit back and I don't listen to these albums on a regular basis. It's just because I'm so busy with new things or other things, I don't get a chance to really just sit back and reflect on the things that I've done. But there are those moments where I finally have a quiet time and I just say, let me see what this sounds like today. I did this so many years ago. Let me see if it still holds up. And then that's when I start reflecting on the things I did. The album I did with Neil Sean, the Soul Circus thing is amazing. Virgil Donati and Marco Mendoza, come on. These guys are just ridiculous. Everybody on this album is just ridiculous. And the same with Talisman. I had 19 years with this band. Yngwie Malmsteen, to even conceive that I was there during the beginning, the conception of the legend that is Yngwie Malmsteen. We were just kids when we did that. I was 18 years old when I joined him.
Wow.
The oldest one of the band was Anders, the drummer. I think he was 23. And when I think my son's 23 right now, it's just crazy to think that we created this legendary stuff, this classic stuff. And it is mind-boggling sometimes.
Wow. What has just amazing people. You've got work of art, you've got Talisman, and just outstanding musicians on that as well,
Yeah, those guys are phenomenal. They really made that album so easy to make for me. For the most part, all I had to do was sing it. They gave me all the rough sketches of exactly what was going to be on the album, and I just had to put my stamp on it. So on this album, where I'm definitely, I guess we're jumping ahead here, but on the next Wet album, I'm getting more on the creative side with the guys, so that way I can not just put my vocal stamp on it, but I can put my creative touch on it as well.
See, you're singing for, a few songs on the actual movie Rockstar.
Right.
How was it actually working alongside with Jeff Pilton, Zach Wilde, and Jason Bonham for Steel Dragon?
That was amazing. Those guys, I've known Jeff and Zach for a long time, and just to even be a part of that whole thing was, I was so hoping that movie was going to explode to the point where there would be some kind of need or desire to put the band together, put it on the road, because I think it would be a blast to actually play with those guys and play those songs live. But it was amazing to actually do that stuff with those guys. And we were actually in the studio at the same time. It wasn't like they just pulled me in after they recorded the tracks, and I would see those guys hanging out in between parts, when I was doing my vocal parts. And it was like a proper studio killer vibe. The only thing that was missing is it wasn't the 80s.
Yeah, I totally understand that one.
I love Jeff. He's a sweetheart of a guy. He's a great musician, great friend, and the same with Zach. Zach Wilde is Zach Wilde. Zach is basically like Slash or Lemmy. He's just an entity into himself and such an amazing guitar player.
Plus also, you have Jason Bonham. How much killer could it be,
Absolutely. And the funny thing is, I never even met Jason before. We crossed paths before recordings and name, you know, people that we worked with in the past and stuff like that. And one time, I mean, I never go to the Rainbow out in L.A., the Rainbow Bar and Grill. And just one of the rare times I happened to be there, I think I was playing a gig in Hollywood. Everybody's, oh, let's go to Rainbow afterwards. And all right, okay, let's go. And I actually saw Jason. I went up to say hello to him, and at first he was kind of like, yeah, how you doing? It's like, Jason, it's Chef Scott Soto. And he's like, oh! And then all of a sudden, we're best buds.
Wow, that's totally freaking killer.
Yeah. No, those guys are just ridiculous. I mean, it is an honor. And like I said, it's one of those things that I'm going to look back on and reflect that I actually did something with these guys. And we did something that actually became historical, you know, this music. I think the legend of those Steel Dragon songs is bigger than the actual movie.
Indeed, I have to agree with you on that one. I mean, also, Milo from the band Steelheart also played a part in Rockstar as well, you know?
Yeah.
But exactly, I mean, who are your musical influences for you as far as vocalists? I mean, you have to have idols.
Well, growing up and even to this day, they've always remained the same. And I never really found any new ones along the way. But I mean, they were always Freddie Mercury, Steve Perry, a lot of soul singers from back in the '60s like Sam Cooke, Stevie Wonder. I didn't grow up with the traditional hard rock influences. Of course, later on, I got to appreciate and really love people like Dickinson and Dio and Rob Halford and stuff like that when it came to the metal years. But as far as my own personal influence and style, it was always the R&B soul guys that really got under my skin.
Cool. So I have to ask you, and I know a lot of people don't know about this, but I know that you actually played with, you know, Brian May of Queen.
Yeah.
For Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, we jammed together. You know, everybody makes such a bigger deal about it than it is. You know, there've been a few things. We've done appearances together. I do a lot of shows with this group called the SAS Band in London. It's a band conceived by the keyboardist that toured and worked with Queen for so many years since they were actually still touring. Spike Edney is his name.
Oh.
And he's got a band called the SAS Band, and we're constantly doing either corporate dates or live dates in England, all over the world, actually. And every once in a while, they'll round up either Roger or Brian or both to actually come up and play a few songs with us. So yeah, it's I guess now I kind of look at it as no big deal because I've done it so many times. And if you ask me this about 10 years ago, oh my God, yeah, you're right, I play with Brian May.
Hey, he's definitely a killer guy.
Yeah, he's actually a really good friend of mine now, and we have such a great friendship, and I have such a huge, admirable respect for the guy. He's one of the nicest human beings I've ever met.
So what exactly is your favorite song off of Damage Control to actually sing? I mean, pick your child. I know it's kind of hard.
Yeah, you nailed it right on the head. I mean, anybody asked me to choose which ones are my favorites, it is like asking somebody which one of your children is your favorite child. It's almost impossible to choose because it also depends on the mood. Sometimes if you're in a kind of scuffly, angry mood, you're going to pick one of the heavier ones to just kind of get that aggression out. And sometimes you could be in a more softer, emotional mood, and that'll be something that really hits home. So it's really difficult to say. But if there's any indication, the first few songs of the album are to me the ones that personify the album. That's why they lead off the album. So I would have to choose those three at the top.
So what actually is your musical background? I mean, how did it all get started? What made you want to become this awesome vocalist?
It's really just that there was always music in our household. It was always my family. My mom was a singer growing up before she had children. Everyone in the family just had musical things flowing through the household at all times. Even though nobody went for it professionally, it was just innate. It was just it just happened all the time. So it was natural for me to just absorb it all and be musical myself. But I literally think. It was when I saw Michael Jackson at the age of like 4 or 5 years old, I think I was, that I realized that's what I want to do, because he was just the kid himself. He was like, I'm trying to think how much years we have between us, but I would imagine he's about 5 or 6 years older than me, which would have made him like 10 or 11. I don't know what age he was when I discovered him, but I just remember I was about 4 and I was singing his songs and wanted to be that. So you can imagine, I'm singing basically as long as I've been talking.
Wow. So are you actually planning on touring with this album for Damage Control?
Yeah, I got another tour that I'm doing first that's going through the summer that I can't reveal the information just now because you're probably going live with this before it's going to be officially revealed, so we're going to have to wait on that. But that information's coming out in about another week of who I'm touring with and what that tour is all about. I got to get that out of the way because I've been working on that and honing in on that for a long time, and I'm very looking forward to it. And then I'm planning to put the band together hopefully around September and get out on the road. And what I'm really, really hoping that this time we can actually add the States to this because it's been a long time since I played home with my own thing.
Actually, I'm probably not going to be airing it for 2 weeks, so you could actually say who it is.
I'm going to be safer than sorry. I'll tell you off the record, but I'm going to be more safe than sorry because the announcement was supposed to be 2 weeks ago, and they're saying now it's next week. I don't want to take any chances.
Well, can you tell me if you're actually going to be playing in California?
Yes.
I've got to meet you. Seriously, I have to meet you, Jeff. Being a huge fan of yours, I mean, here I go again, being a fangirl, but I've been such a fangirl of yours for so many years.
That's awesome. Thank you.
But how is it actually working with Frontier Records? I know you have many albums with them. How are they treating you?
Well, that's the thing. They started only a couple years before I actually started working with them. So it's really down home, homegrown, whatever term you want to call it. When you're talking about family, I really was there at the early stages of what they were trying to do and what they were actually doing. And they built an empire out of everything that they started. And I wouldn't have foreseen that they were going to be able to be as big as they've become, which is a great thing, of course, for all of us, but it's a great thing for them. And it's a testament to, you know, to the work and the effort that they're putting behind this. With that, I guess I've been part of the family, and we have such a mutual respect and loyalty to each other. And even like my last solo album had nothing to do with melodic rock. It was more of a soul R&B funk based pop album almost. And you know, even though they were against it, they didn't want me to release that kind of album. They still gave me the loyalty of saying, we'll put it out for you, we don't agree with it, but, you know, we're here for you, we're behind you. And so that just shows that they're, you know, that it's more than just a professional thing that we have with each other. It's definitely, they're like brothers to me over there, and it's a great relationship we got. And like family, we fight. We don't always agree on everything, so I think that's healthy. You got to have that give and take.
Awesome. So how do you actually feel about, you know, internet radio playing your music, such as me, right here on Metal Messiah Radio, even though I cater to, you know, the melodic rock scene of, you know, Metal Messiah Radio, even though we have different genres on Metal Messiah, but I play the melodic rock such as, you know, AOR and also power and progressive metal. I mean, how do you feel about internet radio as a whole?
Hey, you know, I'll take it where I can get it because it's a whole new ball game out there. It's not what it used to be when we were growing up. Terrestrial radios, you know, it's suffering and big time. You know, satellite radios doing what it's doing, and everybody has to find the new grounds. We got to find a new way of turning people on to music and keeping this whole scene healthy. And it, you know, and I thank people like you guys. I thank the people who listen to you guys for supporting it and keeping everything going.
So I'm going to ask you a double-edged sword question. How do you feel about downloading music?
Yeah, you know what? I'm mixed feelings with that, but for the most part, it's never a negative in the end. I mean, even if half your albums that people have is from illegal downloads, in the very beginning stages of anybody's career, the albums were always promotional items for the band to actually perform live. And when you think about the reality of an album, it's to get people to hearing your music so they can actually come and see you live. So at this point, it truly has become that, in that so many people are downloading it. because you can't download a live show. You have, if you want, do you like this album, even if you download it or pay for it, you still cannot download a live performance. You have to go to that live performance, and you still have to support the artist that way. And it's unfortunate that the labels are losing a lot of money, or they have lost a lot of money because of it, and the artists are obviously losing money from it. But I'm hoping that in the end, it kind of balances out, and people will support the band if they do like the free download, so to speak, that they've gotten for free. And that's kind of why I'm like, you know what, go ahead and download it, check it out. It's almost like, go ahead and sample it. If you think it's good enough to go and buy it, please support us from there. If you download it and you think it sucks, then move on to the next. You know, don't even bother with it. So like you said, it's a double-edged sword question.
So how do you actually feel about, you know, the AOR scene as a whole today? It's like years ago. I mean, you've been around, you know, for a few years. Do you think it changed? Do you think it got better? Do you think it got worse?
All of the above, actually. It got worse and then it got better. And I think now it's getting better, especially because it was so influential to a lot of even kids I've met so many kids that love Def Leppard and Motley and all that stuff growing up, that they actually started bands because of that, and they're influenced by that. So they're using those influences that they listen to all those records and doing something a little more contemporary with this older kind of classic sound. And I think they're kind of reviving it, and it's a great thing too that there's still a renewed interest for bands like Whitesnake and Foreigner and all these package stores that are going out there and just selling like crazy. It shows that the scene is as healthy as ever now than it was even in the 90s.
I have to agree with you on that one, but I have to ask you, what do you think your biggest challenge has been now?
Well, the biggest challenge for me is that I never had a platinum album in the 80s or the 90s. I mean, I'm in the 2000s now. I'm in the second phase of my career, and I'm still chugging along and pushing like I was 20 years ago. But on the other hand, I also don't have that stigma and that stereotype behind me. I don't have that, well, he's only known for that. And people only want to come to the shows to hear that from 25 years ago. I still have that kind of growing core of people that are coming with me, and I'm still picking up. And it's kind of cool to not have that stigma of once was. I still have the what could be kind of thing going for me, as long as I can hold on to my youth.
So what bands are you actually listening to now?
As I said earlier, it's really difficult to find anything, any time to listen to anything else. I can't really enjoy other music or even just to sit back and listen to things because I'm so busy with my own things. I just finished Damage Control, mixing and getting it out and talking about it now, doing interviews while I'm doing the Wet album. And then once I'm done with the Wet album, I'll be on tour and I'll have to conserve my energies and efforts to learning and making sure I got all that together. And then I'm on to the next thing. So it kind of blows that I don't get to even check out some of the new stuff from my contemporaries, you know, that I still haven't heard the entire Mr. Big album, and everybody keeps raving about it.
It's phenomenal.
Yeah, the new Night Ranger album's great. I've listened to two or three songs on there, but I just don't have the time to actually, or even to sit in the car and listen to an album from top to bottom, because there's always something churning or going on, and it's annoying.
I have to ask you, you know, being that you've been in many, many bands and, you know, pretty much toured with a lot of people, but is there anybody in particular or any band in particular you would love to tour with as a dream? Even with your solo career?
Yeah, Journey.
Wow. You want to go back on the road with Journey again? That's cool.
No. You know what? I did the Journey thing, and it was a huge lesson for me, in the sense of anytime you get into a situation where you got to replace somebody or you're stepping into somebody else's shoes, you're under the mag of, you know, you're under the mag, the microscope all the time, and it's not a good feeling when you just want to go up there and sing and do your thing and do it the way you do it. Because if they're always putting you under that microscope and always saying, well, he didn't hit that note and he doesn't do it the way that original guy did it, it kind of pulls you away from what you actually been striving for all these years. So even though that was a great gig, it was too much under the scope, and I wouldn't want to do that again. I'm not looking to get into another band that had a major success behind them and somebody else that kind of created that for them, and then I have to recreate that without letting me do my own thing.
So, with, you know, with your band Wet, let's just jump into that because you're recording it. I mean, how is that album going to be?
Well, it's going to... I first actually was talking to Eric Martinson today about it.
Cool.
I just knocked out the 8th song today, and I think I've got about 3 more to go. We're still actually writing it as we go, but as I said, since I'm getting ready to start this tour for the summer, we're starting rehearsals next month. I basically only have a couple more weeks before I want to actually be in the studio, and then I need to take a little break and rest up for the tour. So, it's going to definitely be received the way everybody expects it to be received. I think people that love the first album are going to hear this, and it's going to be exactly what they're hoping for and exactly what they're hoping they're going to get. And then some. There's a few things that I think are stronger than the first album, a few things that would have been missing on the first album, but there are other things that sound like they could be almost part two of the first album. So it's going to be cool.
How can you beat that song, One Love? I mean, that song is just mind-blowing. First time I heard it, I got it shivers down my spine, you know?
We got some more magic up our sleeves.
Oh, my God. So are you going to be recording any more Talisman, though?
Talisman, unfortunately, I think is that's done in my eyes. I'm not really interested. I would rather actually record songs or sounds that are from the genre or the inspiration of Talisman, that's a release an album that says Talisman without my partner, Marcel Jacob, without him being on that, unless he actually wrote the songs or played on, you know, just before he passed.
Yeah.
There really is no point and reason to continue with that band with original material. I would at some point like to gather the guys and get out on the road and do a proper tribute to him, as well as a tribute to the body of work that we recorded. I mean, 19 years of this band.
Wow.
It would be a shame if we didn't find some kind of avenue to actually to go out there and do a proper farewell tour, or even just revisit it every few years just to keep it alive. But as far as new material, I'm not interested in this.
Cool. So are all of your other projects still available, such as, you know, Soul Circus, Takara? I mean, I could go on and on. Are they still available?
I'm sure somewhere in the world they're available. That's you know, there's always eBay, there's always outlets like these record outlets that do this genre of music that are constantly carrying this stuff and finding this stuff to make sure they keep selling it. I try to keep a catalog of my own stuff the stuff that I feel strongly about selling and releasing on my personal website at jeffscottsoto.com. You can find like my solo albums and some Soul Circus and some of the things that I'm really attached to. But the Talisman, for instance, it's going through a major overhaul, and again, another announcement's going to be made on that about exactly what's going to be done with the catalog of Talisman. There's a lot of big plans with that.
Wow, I'm excited for that one. You're gonna waste my money again, huh, Jeff?
I told you off the record, I'm not the easiest artist or the cheapest one to actually follow.
That's okay. I mean, you're definitely worth every penny that you've actually had put on. So
I'm glad you think so.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you're definitely a legend in my mind, believing that, you know, I've, you know, listened to you since, you know, Malmsteen, you know.
That's awesome.
But, you know, I mean, you have to have hobbies. I mean, what do you like to do when you're not going on tour or making albums? I mean, do you have any hobbies?
Yeah, I mean, I love playing basketball. I'm a fitness nut. I'm always at the gym. You know, I'm going to be 47 this year.
Not look it.
It gets harder and harder to hold on to everything without doing the plastic surgery thing. So I basically live at the gym, and my downtime is basically just sports, you know, hanging, working out and trying to be fit.
You do not look it. I mean, when I saw you on stage, you have this energy that you're running around on stage. It's awesome.
Yeah, but that comes from those influences I told you earlier, you know, like Freddie Mercury, for instance. He was kind of set the bar, of exactly what you want to strive for in being a front man. And that's what my inspiration was in trying to be an entertainer and just making sure that you didn't just go up there and sing the songs, that you actually performed the songs.
Are you actually vocally trained?
Not at all.
Really?
Not at all.
Wow.
Everything I got was all just by listening to the radio and just influence from my family. And then through the years, I've done little trainings here and there with vocal coaches or whatever, but that's just that's more for longevity on my voice, especially when you get on tour and stuff like that, how to ration it out, how to keep it from blowing out and that kind of stuff. But as far as training, no.
Wow. So what exactly does, 2012 hold for, Mr. Jeff Scott Soto?
It's a busy rest of the year, I tell you. It's I got this tour going through summer. I got a festival at the end of July. I'm going to take a few weeks off because I'm going to have to rest the voice up a little bit. And as I said, I want to put the band together in September and get us on the road.
Cool. So can fans actually keep in touch with you? Are you available to be contacted?
I'm not so much a social network guy. I got people that run that stuff for me, and I'll get on there once in a while to throw in my own little personal stuff, but I'm not a back and forth kind of person. It just gets too much. When I got too much on my plate, and if I can't follow up on it, I don't want to let people down. And people get pissed off if they write something to you and you don't write back. Hey, I thought you were a nice guy. I wrote to you and you didn't write me back. I don't want to have to deal with that. I would rather concentrate on the music, concentrate on delivering the music, and once in a while I put little blurbs and nudges here and there just to tell people what's going on and what I'm thinking.
Cool. So is there anything else before we close out this interview about Damage Control that I haven't mentioned?
No, it's... yeah, there's a lot. a lot of what we could talk about is going to be on the DVD and the EPK. So I implore you to anybody listening that wants to listen to this album to get the deluxe edition, so you can check out the interview, the EPK, the DVD that's on there, and get those extra tunes. And a lot of your questions will be answered on that alone.
And stick around, Jeff. But this is if you want to say anything to your fans before we go.
I guess the only thing I could say is just to kind of elaborate what I said earlier. It's a charmed life. It's a life that I've always dreamed of. It's a life that anybody would dream of, to be able to do what you want to do for a living. And it's not work. It doesn't feel like work. It's something that comes from deep within. It comes from the blood. And to have people like you, even your enthusiasm, the people that listen to your show, the people that want to listen to me speak, to take the time to actually hear me speak and to listen to my music and all that. There are no words of thanks for me. I feel like the luckiest guy on earth to be able to share that, especially so many years after I began, back in the 80s. I'm still here and I'm still doing what I'm doing, and there's still interest out there. I can't say thanks enough.
Oh, it's my pleasure, and I just want to say thank you for taking your time out of your busy schedule. I mean, being a huge fan of yours, this is such a pleasure to interview you.
This is all part of it. This is, I did an album I'm really proud of, and now I get to talk about it. So as far as I'm concerned, it's a pleasure for me.
And stick around, Jeff. But this is DJ Sin signing out, Metal Messiah Radio.